Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As it approaches our coast, Hurricane Delta is forecasted to be weakening rather than strengthening, and it's going to be a storm that moves faster.
Louisiana Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards says Hurricane Delta is expected to make landfall in Louisiana around the same place another hurricane hit in August. Edwards continues.
It is very clear that Southwest Louisiana is going to get more of a punch from this than we would like to see, for sure, because we're still trying to recover from Hurricane Laura.
With the second Democratic presidential debate scrapped next week in Miami, both candidates hitting the road. President Trump holding a campaign rally down in Florida. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden will be holding a town hall in the battleground state of Pennsylvania. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Brandon Caserta is one of the 13 men arrested in a plot to kidnap Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Caserta, no fan of President Trump.
Well, Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually, like, believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant.
Vice President Mike Pence spending his Thursday in Arizona saying Arizona and the American comeback are underway. While speaking at Tier Tactical just outside of Phoenix, Pence touts the state's rebounding employment rates amid the coronavirus pandemic.
In the last 5 months alone, we've already seen more than 11.5 million Americans go back to work, including 172,000 right here in the Grand Canyon.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden also campaigning on Thursday in Arizona. USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's not known if the top two presidential candidates will debate again before the election. Democrat Joe Biden is blasting the latest proposal from President Trump's team. The president saying he would like to not be part of next week's virtual town hall. They have instead called for a delay in debates. As far as President Trump not taking part in the virtual town hall, Republican Senator from Texas Ted Cruz says it was a good move.
To hold a virtual debate, that benefits Joe Biden, that lets his staff be in the room, that lets him receive assistance. One of the real concerns a lot of people have is if Joe Biden is even up to it, and if you insulate him and let him do the debate from the basement, that's eliminating the debate aspect of it. And listen, I think the reason the commission did this is the Democrats right now think they're winning. They believe Joe Biden's winning. I think they're very happy for Joe not to leave his basement for another minute between now and Election Day. And if the commission sticks to we're going to do it virtually, I think the president's right saying I'm not going to participate in the charade.
More than 50 million people watched the debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris Wednesday night. Nielsen Media Research reports that's up 26% compared to the debate between Pence and Virginia Senator Tim Kaine 4 years ago. More news can always be found online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, the question I want to pose to you right now is, what does it take to make a miracle? You know, think about that. Well, from their book, Carrie and Tom Whitehead are going to be joining us here in just a moment. I want to read this portion. It says, when their five-year-old daughter Emily was diagnosed with leukemia, Tom and Carrie Whitehead's world was shattered, as you can imagine. They vowed to do whatever it would take to help their daughter. And as they made decisions about how best to treat her, Tom found his faith coming to him in whispers, guiding his decisions and keeping his hope alive, while Carrie placed great faith in science and the doctors surrounding her little girl. But as Emily's condition continued to worsen, they both prayed for a miracle. Carrie and Tom, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Hey, thank you very much. We're doing well.
Well, the book documents an incredible story and is such an encouragement and something that all parents can relate to immediately. You know, the two of you to be so vulnerable and to share your story with us. I just want you to know up front, it's a serious blessing that I do not take for granted, and I'm blessed that you're on the show to tell our audience about this.
Yeah, thank you very much. We really appreciate the awareness of our book, and that's kind of what we wanted to, you know, to tell our story and let people know that the faith and the science work together and created a miracle that now is saving children and adults, too, that have cancer all over the world.
Exactly. Carrie, are you surprised that, as Tom said, you know, faith and science coming together, and here we are in this environment today, that your story is very contemporary on many levels?
Right, it is. And so as Tom mentioned, I always was very, I believed in the science from the very beginning, but I always prayed for guidance for the doctors to make the right decision, and I always prayed for us to make the right decisions for Emily's care. So I think that that's how they both work together.
Yeah. Tom, how were you able to do that? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, if not more times than not than we'd like to admit, particularly in marriages, you know, God brings us together to complete one another. Now, we can talk about that spiritually and understand that, but when you are in the battle, and the battle like you were in for your daughter, boy, this really, really puts some tension on, you know, the very heart and soul of who you are and the very heart and soul of who Carrie is. And then you have to realize, you know, just even like we're talking about it, you know, in the situation here in America, is that we have a common foe here. Regardless of how we want to come and address it, we have a common foe. And that's what you and Carrie found yourselves dealing with, right?
Yeah, we had some great advice from one of our oncology nurses in the beginning that said, you know, you two have to remember to date during this time. Tired of watching parents break up during their kids' cancer care, and then they start missing appointments, and the next thing you know, the child has a bad outcome. So we really appreciated that from the very beginning, and we used it as a time to strengthen our marriage and our family, and we decided to stick together. But I just had a really strong feeling from the very beginning, and it's the only thing we ever ask of people is, please pray for Emily and send her your positive thoughts. And we read her those messages all the time, and it really got started early when she almost lost her leg. And then we used some healing cloths overnight, and she came back from a surgery, and then the doctor, the surgeon, had said it's medically hard to explain how much her wounds had healed.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a rough start, but we just stuck together and prayed and asked people to do that with us, and we ended up with 29,000 people on her page, and it was amazing to us how everyone came together then. It just brought people together, and we're hoping the story, you know, at this time can do that again. The way everything's going, we just hope that it gives people inspiration and hope, and starts bringing everybody back together again.
You know, Carrie, though you have a science mindset, and we're all wired in different ways, and we can appreciate that, I don't want people to think that you were just, focused on science. As you said, you know, you have your own, your faith and your beliefs, and you know, no doubt that it was all instrumental in the recipe of, Emily's healing, right?
Right. You know, I do have very strong faith, but because of my science background, I work in research, and mm-hmm. I was very focused on the data and the numbers. And so after Emily had multiple relapses, and, you know, the research and data said that she had a very slim chance of surviving, less than 10%, at that time, sometimes I felt like I was losing my faith because it just didn't seem like she could make it. I just didn't see how she could overcome something like this unless there was a miracle. And so Tom was always telling me, you know, don't focus on the numbers. We have to be stronger, and we just have, you know, we have to pray more for guidance. And so that's what we continue to do. And that helped lift me up a lot. And of course now, after everything that happened, our prayers worked. And so now I understand how our science and background and our faith work together.
Tom, when Emily was sharing with you, which is a strength and a quality of personality, and because of her background and research and numbers, you have to still validate your wife and understand where she's coming from. And it wasn't, you know, I imagine as you went through this exercise and in deepening your marriage and your relationship, this was a bit of a process. It wasn't like, everything was roses and rainbows and kumbaya as you're, you know, dealing with the emotions and the reality of, hey, your daughter is dying here.
Yeah, and that actually did become our process. Carrie would start off with doing the research and looking up every medicine they wanted to give Emily and looking up the side effects. We would talk about that, and then I was the hope part of it, and I would come back and say, you know, okay, I was praying, this is what my instincts are telling me, and we would just get together and make a decision and then go with that. And then, you know, afterward, the researcher in charge, Dr. Carl June, he said to me, you know, I'm a science guy, Tom, and I don't pray myself, but he said, I now believe in miracles, because he said, I can count 6 decisions you guys made, and twice you went against the doctors, and he said, if you change any one of those decisions, Emily's not with us anymore.
Wow. Well, what did that mean to you, Carrie, when you've got a scientist making a statement like that?
Yeah, well, I could definitely, I could I could relate to that because, you know, sometimes it was a struggle for me trying, you know, I understood the science and trying to really count on my faith. But, you know, it's just amazing when I hear other scientists say that, you know, they don't pray much, but this made them understand how faith and science can work together. And all through Emily's journey, as Tom mentioned, we had so many people praying for her, and we've had so many people over the years come to us and say, you know, I had lost my faith throughout the years because, you know, something had happened in their lives that just caused them to lose hope.
I'll tell you, we've got to go to break. Excuse me for cutting you off, but we'll pick it up from there on the other side. Stay with us.
Okay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey everybody, confused about staying healthy in a crazy COVID culture? Me too. But listen, after all the research, all the conflicting studies, after all the squabbling, there's one thing almost everyone agrees on. It's that immune system health can literally be the difference between life and death. You probably already believe that. I certainly do. So here's the thing. I wanted to get past the craziness and find out which plant-based substances actually have studies that demonstrate some efficacy in immune support. Now, you'll have to sign a waiver, but you can check out what I've discovered at StrongerDefense.com. No cures or treatments there. Instead, little-known but shocking immune system research and a breakthrough immune support product based on that research called Immune 10X. And the best part? You can go to the Stronger Defense website right now and claim your own supply of Immune 10X without paying anything today. Crazy, right? Learn more about this unusual limited-time offer at StrongerDefense.com. That's StrongerDefense.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, we're talking with the Whiteheads, Tom and Carrie. It's Emily Whitehead's story, as we're praying for Emily, a title of their new book, Faith, Science, and Miracles That Saved Our Daughter. Carrie, before the break, you were talking again how faith and science come together and how through this process it reinforces both, right? Because the way God designed this is not that it's a competitive issue, that we find often validation of our faith in science as science finds validation of its existence in faith, does it not?
That's right. And I was mentioning before the break that we've had so many people around the world contact us and say, I have lost my faith because of something in my life that happened, but reading Emily's story gave me my faith back. And so not only, was her treatment this scientific breakthrough in cancer therapy, but there was also this other part where people were praying and came together, and, you know, for some, it brought their faith back and really made people believe again.
Tom, when it got to that point that you said, look, we just have to pray for a miracle. What was that moment from you? Was that a word from the throne room of God that finally just said, hey, look, trust me? How did that come about?
Well, before things got really bad, the two nights before, things were really out of control. I went back to the room where I was staying, and I was praying, like, if you can ever help us, we need that help right now. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, two nights in a row, I could see her, and she was getting better, healing, and she had beat cancer. And there were specifics to that. And the next day we went in, and the doctors where we were at our local hospital were going to start a whole new round of chemotherapy, and we didn't feel that it was right, so we turned it down and left the hospital against medical advice and went for a second opinion. That saved her life there. And we went down, and those whispers that I got, I felt like I got a sign. This is what's going to happen. We turned down another trial that didn't feel right when we went for the second opinion, and they're saying she's 48 hours from organ failure. And it eventually led us to making the decisions. And I remember Carrie saying, how are you calm? They're telling us Emily's going to die. And I said, I know three things that are going to happen. And I told Carrie what they were, and that's part of what we wanted to share in the book. And then weeks later, we're in the intensive care unit after she received her T-cells, and I have a doctor tell me, there's a 1 in 1,000 chance your daughter's going to be here in the morning. And I said, I happen to know she's going to beat her cancer. And he kind of shook his head and looked at me like I was really naive. And the next day, they come up with another medicine that had never been used on a cancer patient that turned her around. And a few days later, he was saying, is there anything else you'd like to share with us, Mr. Whitehead? And Emily woke up on her 7th birthday and came back to us after a 14-day coma. 23 days after they treated her, she was cancer-free. And the three or four things that I had laid out to Carrie a month earlier that were going to happen all happened right after she woke up.
Wow.
So those specifics are in our book, and I just felt that's the path we've been put on. They said, you know, if Emily passed away, this new way of fighting cancer would have ended with her. You know, every major cancer center in the world is working on training the immune system to beat cancer.
Exactly. Carrie, again, because of your research background, and Tom's laying out these things that based on, as he says, whispers, and he talks about it in his book, these are these, however people of faith receive this revelation, I some people have made fun of this, but that's okay. That's just how I relate to it. Sometimes I just hear the clear word of God. I mean, I hear God speaking like you and I are talking. But whatever the case, I mean, you know, Tom was being led by this, and like you said, it was giving you hope. And along the way, you come into the reality of CAR T-cell treatment for leukemia, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, when Tom mentioned to me that he saw her getting better and he was feeling these what he called whispers, at the time, I wasn't sure what to believe. I didn't know if he was just saying that to make me feel better and to bring me hope. Mm-hmm. And he said, these things are going to happen. They're going to come true. And so when they finally did, you know, I just felt like it was unbelievable that he had these whispers. And, you know, I really tried to find that in myself, and I'm not sure why I don't hear things as clearly as Tom does. And maybe that's why Tom and I were put together. You know, his whispers help bring me up and give me hope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But without Carrie's research, we wouldn't have found the trial either. So it all worked together.
Yeah.
Well, again, as we started out our conversation about how God brings us together to complete one another, and that's the opportunity, especially in a marriage. And I'm sure, you know, here we are on the other side of this miracle, but this had to put some stress on your marriage, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. And we realized early on that we were just the three of us in the room all the time for about 2 years, most of those 2 years. And we would get upset with each other and kind of maybe yell at each other because we didn't have anybody else that would listen.
Yes.
And then an hour later, we'd forget about it and say, okay, are we ready to move on? And he said, yep, I had a chance to vent. Now let's move on and let's stick together.
Carrie, during this period of time, because it's difficult, and I can understand as much as I can imagine, and I'm doing the best I can to sympathize with the situation that you and Tom were in, you got some wise advice early on. Said don't forget to date each other. That was important to culture of the relationship. But how did praying together? Were you able to feel like you could pray all the time together, or, you know, in being real here, I imagine there's probably some moments that you probably just didn't feel like praying anymore.
Yeah, I mean, at times it was really hard for me because, as I said, you know, the outlook just looked so grim for her, and I just didn't understand how she could possibly get better. And so it was hard for me at times, but Tom kept telling me, you know, you just have to pray. That's all we can do, and we have so many people praying for her. And so I still did. It wasn't, you know, it was hard for me to believe that a miracle was going to happen to us. You know, we're just a small family in central Pennsylvania, just a typical family. And it was hard for me to believe that. But, you know, Tom kept saying, you need to pray for a miracle. And so I more prayed for guidance, you know, help guide me towards something that's right for Emily. Help, you know, I prayed for guidance for the doctors to make the right decision. And so that's kind of how I handled prayer during that time.
Tom, for all that you, the three of you, have gone through, I imagine that you look at Emily in a whole different way now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I couldn't be more proud of her. You know, now she's 5'10" tall and 15 years old.
Wow.
She's getting straight A's. And she really wants to help others. You know, she just wants to do good. And she realizes, you know, she doesn't remember a lot of the pain she went through, which we're very happy that she doesn't. But she realizes the impact it's had on the world. And, you know, she's getting to the point now where she's confident enough to join me on stage and share the part of her story of the amazing things that have happened to her since she got better. You know, I told her from the beginning we're going to smile once every day, no matter what happens in the hospital, and we're going to stay positive. And now that's what we focus on. And, you know, we've been invited all over the world to share her story, and we're helping as many people as we can. And so far there's been around 1,000 children in 32 countries that have had hope for a treatment that she pioneered that would have went away if she did not survive.
Wow. And we have millions here now listening and engaging with praying for Emily. Carrie, what do you want the audience? I'm going to let you sum it up and finish it up. We got about 30 seconds left. What do you want the audience to gain from your story?
Yeah, I hope that people can see that faith and science can work together, but we also hope that the book can bring hope and inspiration to those who are going through a difficult time and might have a hard time with their faith. You know, we hope it just really brings hope to everybody who reads it.
And we hope
well,
it also helps them find a new treatment. There's all kinds of new trials now that give people more options and less
Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation. Living with chronic back pain? You're not alone. Up to 80% of people in the U.S. will experience back pain at some point. But could your back pain be a form of axial spondyloarthritis or axSpA, an inflammatory arthritis of the spine? It can cause stiffness and reduced mobility. There are approximately 1.7 million people living with axSpA and related conditions in the U.S. However, because it is underdiagnosed, that number may be higher. Rheumatologist Dr. Hillary Norton has ankylosing spondylitis, or AS, a form of axSpA.
Inflammatory back pain is chronic, so it never really goes away, even if symptoms come and go. Adding to the complexity, men and women with AS are likely to experience symptoms in the low back, whereas women may present with pain around the neck area and often have more peripheral joint pain. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor and get a correct diagnosis.
Visit monsterpainintheas.com to complete a 3-minute quiz to learn more.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is introducing legislation to create a panel to decide whether President Trump is physically and mentally able to serve. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise believes Pelosi's priorities are mixed up.
This shows you just how misplaced Speaker Pelosi's priorities are. We should be in Washington helping families that are struggling and recovering, and small businesses that would love another round of Paycheck Protection Program funding where there's massive bipartisan support.
The Louisiana congressman speaking there on Fox News. Hurricane Delta is on track to make landfall in Louisiana today. Mandatory evacuation orders are in effect.
Just get ready. Hope for the best. Hunker down. That's all you can do. We've lucked out twice this year, so, you know.
The hurricane could make landfall as a Category 3 storm. USA Radio News.
Hey, Bubsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you too. So call the tax relief line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. That's 866-657-8.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. I've got a story that's going to be a bit frustrating for you to hear, but it's the whole truth and nothing but. We're looking at 3 years after Hurricane Maria. Energy company that saved Puerto Rico has become a political punching bag. And here to tell us all about it is the story of Whitefish Energy and its CEO, Andy Tekmansky. Andy, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Tell me, Andy, let's break it down for our audience, because we're talking here 3 years after Hurricane Maria, and according to a new report, they're still counting the bodies. Whitefish Energy did a lot to really save that island and save so many people. But for some reason, things have been turned on its head, and you've become a political punching bag. Tell our audience what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. We were the first responders as far as the electrical utility efforts to get the power back on. And in that first 60 days, we were able to get 67% of the power transmission capacity back on. The city of San Juan, much of the critical hospitals and pharmaceutical cities like El Yunque's on. We flew in hundreds of thousands of dollars of food and water and medical supplies that we donated and gave away. Conditions were bad. You know, we had six helicopters and pretty much all of our scope of work was helicopter only access dropping guys into the middle of the jungle, dropping equipment back into the middle of the jungle. What happened after that? You know, we got kind of caught in the swamp of a political tug of war, and I am about the most apolitical person there is. I don't get involved in politics, you know, others saw an opportunity and started to create a lot of false reporting around, you know, what we were doing there and so on. And the reality is we were saving lives. And I don't know how many, but we've saved surely thousands of lives there and helped make a huge impact. And because of the politics around it, our contract got canceled. The governor kind of caved to the political machine of Washington. Asked for cancellation. Then the power company begged us to, in the 30-day cancellation, to work as hard as we could and get as much done as we could, because they knew everybody that was coming in after us was not going to be as efficient as us. So we did. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, you know, the void that was filled after we left with other companies, they all, you know, Cobra got paid almost $1 billion, and then their president got arrested on criminal charges with a FEMA official, mm-hmm. For unethical, single sourcing of work, floor head issues, fatalities, on the Army Corps contract, and ended up getting essentially kicked off that contract for, non-productiveness and safety, and they got paid $2 billion. And, you know, the first guys there, we haven't been paid. You know, we're owed over $100 million. FEMA continues to hang their hat on, that they're doing the audit of Cobra. And that's the reason why they aren't paying us. Now, it's two completely different project worksheets, two completely different submissions to FEMA, two different scopes of work, although very similar. They've been paid almost $1 billion. We can't get FEMA off high center. And like I said, they use the OIG investigation into Cobra as an excuse, and they use this PW251, which is essentially Cobra's submission for reimbursement for the rest of the funds they haven't been paid, as an excuse to not pay Whitefish. And I've been on this merry-go-round for 3 years now, and we keep getting the canned response from FEMA. Although when they were talking to us, they told us they were basically going to have this thing wrapped up and up for approval last February, you know, so almost a year ago. So I don't know what's going on there.
Wow, this has to be just so frustrating, but so obvious at the same time, Andy, that even the local people knew that once you were gone, that we've got, you know, the D.C. bureaucracy moving in to take over. And, of course, the Puerto Ricans have been through this dance before, have they not?
They have, and it's very unfortunate. The then CEO of the power company warned the governor's office and said openly in the news, hey, we get rid of Whitefish, who, by the way, is doing the job efficiently. And if we get rid of them, it's going to set things back like 12 weeks, you know, several months. And it did. It was actually set things back closer to probably 6 to 10 months in the end. The interesting thing is the Puerto Rico, their version of State Controller's Office and Financial Oversight Board, which is a federal board that sits on top of the bankrupt island, essentially, they issued weekly reports. They still do. And it showed production for the longest period of time. And, you know, we did 67% of the capacity on a 140-some-odd million, 145 million. It took them, and we did that in 60 days, of the hardest scopes of work, helicopter access. We couldn't drive to anything, and the remaining contractors for the 33% that was left spent almost $3 billion. So and they took them over a year to do, and most of their work was road accessible. And so you ask yourself, where was the efficiency, and you know, how did politics play a role in not only hurting the people of Puerto Rico and probably causing more deaths in the end because it slowed the recovery,
exactly,
but also inviting this vacuum behind us of contractors that weren't qualified to do the work in the first place. And, you know, their work showed for it. They both had fatalities. They both had non-productive, you know, behavior. They both had unethical behavior of billing hours that weren't there, or criminal activity. I mean, we've been audited, I don't know how many times, 10, 12 times by various agencies. They haven't found one man hour wrong with our
for the same job. For the same job.
Yeah.
So. And so the bottleneck is FEMA, right?
The bottleneck is FEMA.
How do you get pressure on FEMA in order to get this resolved?
My claim is with PREPA, the power company of Puerto Rico. PREPA is bankrupt, so there's very little, if anything, I can do in court because they have bankruptcy protection. They're the ones that are the claimant to FEMA. And FEMA, you know, we fall inside what was mandated by the federal government, by the White House, that they obligated for the first 120 days of recovery, that 100% would be reimbursed. You know, 100% of our costs would be reimbursed. That came from the White House. That came from FEMA. We fall in that criteria, but we're 3 years out, and FEMA keeps using excuses. Now, FEMA's been riddled with scandal after scandal, a lot of it around Puerto Rico and the, you know, the blue tarp thing that they did with and then this power thing where a couple of their officials actually got arrested, for criminal activity with Cobra. And so, you know, my assumption is they're just afraid. They're afraid to do the right thing, and they're stuck in high center, and there's not one person there that's going to sign off and do the right thing because they just don't want to be in the news again. And, you know, the reality is I owe millions of dollars to our subcontractors.
Well, I bet.
And we had over 600 employees, 650 pieces of equipment there. You know, I owe millions of dollars to these subcontractors that put a ton of faith in us to go over there and get it done and get them paid. And it's hurting all of us. It's destroyed my business. It's hurting every single one of their businesses. And the question is that the federal government should be asking themselves is, if they don't pay, what's going to happen the next time?
Exactly. That was my thought right away. And Andy, we're out of time, and we got to stay up to date on this. How can people find out more information? Is there a site that they can go to? Anything that they can do in order to put pressure on our government to make sure you guys get paid?
You know, the best thing that anyone can do is talk to their federal delegate, you know, and push their congressional or Senate. You know, delegates, we've been pushing them. They do very little, but, you know, we've gotten a little bit of communication, but that's the best thing that anyone can do for us.
Andy, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This report is brought to you by the National Safety Council. At least 8 people die in distracted driving crashes every single day. The National Safety Council is working to change that. This October, NSC and its partner, Truce Software, will observe the 10th anniversary of Distracted Driving Awareness Month in an effort to eliminate distractions behind the wheel. President and CEO of NSC, Lorraine M. Martin.
Distraction, along with impairment and speeding, have contributed to double-digit surges in motor vehicle fatality rates during the pandemic. More people are dying on the road despite quarantine. Now, more than ever, we must keep our eyes on the road, keep ourselves, our loved ones, and others around us safe.
This October, take the NSC Just Drive Pledge and commit to driving distraction-free. TheZebra.com will donate $1 for every pledge taken and match 100% of every donation made to NSC up to $5,000 until November 6th. Visit nsc.org/pledge to take the pledge and learn how to keep you and your loved ones safe.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a recent survey from Bank of America, 64% of consumers have changed their spending habits over the past 6 months. As your expenses shift, it's important to maintain an updated budget and use financial tools like the Bank of America Cash Rewards Card that can help you make the most of your spending. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America, explains.
Since March, our clients have been making more online purchases on things such as food delivery and streaming services. In fact, total spending on food delivery over the summer nearly tripled from last year. One of the smartest ways to spend is by tracking your expenses and choosing a rewards card that is flexible with your evolving needs.
With a Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, customers can choose to earn 3% cash back in categories including dining, gas, home improvement, online shopping, and more each month. For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/creditcards.
My name is Brian, and I'm 80 years of age. Recently, I was dealing with symptoms of a COVID infection. Initially, I had a fever with chills and a sore throat. Within a short time, the fever subsided, and the sore throat improved, but still lingered. I used several different supplements without success. I then tried Green Metal Whey, and immediately my sore throat went away. I feel that Green Metal Whey helped me defeat this COVID infection, and it gives me a noticeable lift in my energy.
Lactoferrin is a naturally occurring nutrient in whey protein. It has been shown to have potent antiviral activity. Lactoferrin binds to a virus, blocking its ability to enter the cell. It also stimulates antiviral interferon production. Green Metal Whey contains 300 to 600 milligrams of non-denatured lactoferrin per scoop. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or go to greenmetalway.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're listening to us over the weekend, I just want to, you know, for full disclosure, you may hear time to time reference Bill Martinez Live. And, of course, if it's over the weekend, it's, you know, you're getting a little flavor and best of the show. We do air live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We appreciate you joining in no matter what time. And look, if you want to hear us live, as I said, we are live 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. You can do so on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Or better yet, just tell your local station that they need to carry Bill Martinez Live every day. We'd be happy to be in your community as well. So just to kind of clear that up a little bit so that you know what's happening, we don't mean to confuse you for the sake of transparency and being upfront with you totally. That's how this works. So, by the way, if you want to get a hold of me and drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com, we'd love to hear from you. You know, get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts your ideas are represented as well, because we bring on experts. The idea here is we want to bless you with people that are experts in their particular discipline so that we can advance the conversation, that we're not particularly siloed and so ideologue, as Jordan Peterson would say, that we would render ourselves stupid. You know, we're a lot smarter in this. I mean, I have a lot of faith in the American people. We may be taking a little bit of a hit, but I think we need to hold it all in perspective. And consider that it is a very small minority right now that are in chaos. And thank God it's a small minority in some sense. But it really takes people of faith and people who understand what the truth is, the real truth, not subjective truth, not the relative truth, but the real truth. And that's what this show is committed to. And so we appreciate you, you know, being a part of the solution and not adding to the problem. We've got enough to deal with right now, whether it has to do with COVID or, you know, the election season and how political it's become. It is amazing, as we were talking with, Dr. Wilfred Riley earlier, the contention that's taken place and how perception has gotten us off track and at each other's throats. And, The way God has designed us, he never gave any one person all the goods, that there was only one person that is right. I mean, we can come together and debate these issues. This is a healthy exercise. This has been a staple of our American way of life and what has continued to evolve the American dream. Because, as we know, in each generation, the dream may be a little bit different. But our Constitution was set up in such a way to accommodate. In that sense, it is elastic, that it is adaptive. It's not that the Constitution needs to adapt to us as much as we need to take a look at whatever we're dealing with. In this case, COVID-19 as a threat. Clearly, this is a war, and there are remedies in dealing with the war. That's what we're dealing with. And one of the first things is realizing that it is a war against the United States of America. It's not a war against Republicans, not a war against Democrats. Sadly, you know, some political individuals would want to make it seem that way. And that's unfortunate because that's how we lose. And that's how you lose wars, when you're divided. So we have to be united to the cause, and that is the cause for the American way of life and the continuation of this democratic republic. Yes, there are forces out there, obviously, that, some have been identified as Marxists, as anarchists, from Antifa, the radical arm of Black Lives Matter, and we know that there is a radical arm. I mean, we don't, in some places, if you bring that up, then, they want to, hurt you and do some damage to your person because you're calling it out for what it is. It's like they think it's some sort of secret that people don't understand that there is a radical arm of Black Lives Matter, that these are the people that you see on TV, that Michelle Obama says they're really not, they're really kind of peaceful people, and going, well, how can you say they're peaceful when they're burning down buildings, they're busting up windows in neighborhoods and residences, and so for people to think that it's only happening in major cities, it's starting to happen in suburbia as well. You know, they're going into the streets of suburbia because they want every knee to bow to their proposed doctrine, and whatever that is. And all we know in a general context is America bad, anarchists good. That's what they want us to believe. And certainly in some cases, as even as Robert Spencer pointed out, kids have been indoctrinated to this. But look at the parents. We parents have to take responsibility. And I would say for the next generation, we need to encourage our kids, as grandparents, as much as it would count on us, we need to be proactive in educating our children. I mean, that's where education starts. It starts at home. Yes, there are forces that we have to deal with, and you need some courage to be able to step up against these progressives that have command of our educational curriculum and that want our children to learn things that are unbelievable. You can't even imagine. And I would ask you, when was the last time that you even checked out the books or even, did a deep dive into your local your local district to find out, okay, what's on the curriculum? What are they being taught? I mean, the fact of the matter is that in some schools, in some districts, they're having parents sign off on, kind of a declaration sheet that they will not, look over their children's shoulder, that they will not look what's happening, during the Zoom lessons. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean? You can't observe what your children are being taught, and they want you to sign off on this? Like, what are they going to do, come in and fine you? I mean, the educational Nazis are going to come in and come into your home and arrest you because you happen to look over. I mean, it's ridiculous, the stuff that's going on. John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute has consistently reported on these ridiculous draconian acts where you have a child who, is in a Zoom lesson and he happens to be playing with a BB gun. Now he's, a plastic BB gun, or a gun figurine. And he's kicked out of class. He's kicked out of the Zoom class, because that's such some sort of dire, dire offense. Because boys are doing what boys do. So, we have to be careful with what's happening in every area of our lives. And this is what the American, you know, dream is all about. It's what our Constitution is all about. It is a contact sport. It is not one that you can sit up in the rafters and just observe. You are in the playing field. One way or another, you're in the playing field. And you either are participating, you either are, you know, catching passes, throwing passes, making points, not making points, tackling, getting tackled, if I can put it in athletic terms, in NFL terms. But the fact of the matter is that it demands all of us to be involved. We have an election coming up, a critical election. You hear time and time again. I know people, oh, no, this is, you know, the biggest election of our lives. And it really is when you think about it. And there's never been, I don't know if there's ever been this clear of a delineation of what the parties are offering. You know, Joe Biden doesn't want you to know, so he stays in his bunker for the most part. He's getting out there now. It's amazing he's ending up in the right place, but he has, thank God. And but he's getting outside. But his operatives, his handlers, they want him. You know, hey, look, we'll give you till 9 o'clock in the morning. After that, we're putting a lid. And how many days? I mean, this is a campaign. And how many days has he not been on the campaign? How many days has he not been, you know, campaigning? But yet his operatives will say, no, he's out there. He's very active. And you know, and then of course, you know, who also is very active are these pollsters that once again, I believe, are putting their thumb on the scale here and coming up with these outlandish polls. I mean, explain to me, how can somebody who hasn't been out there, who can't even, you know, articulate his policies, or if the policy that he articulates is one that it echoes that of, you know, President Trump, you know, it's like, you know, like Vice President Pence called him out on it, you know, to Senator Harris. You know, it looks like plagiarism to me, and I know it looks like plagiarism to a lot of people, sadly. But, you know, that's unfortunate. It's what we're dealing with, and it happens to be the unfortunate truth of the matter, because when you see what Biden has put on his website, it's like, wait a minute, we're already doing this. I mean, COVID-19, you're coming up with something brilliant. I mean, we've got scientists involved. They've been involved from day one. I mean, the PPE, the way this president has moved, Operation Warp Speed to come up with a vaccine. And, you know, and I appreciate that the vice president called out Senator Harris and others that are undermining the efforts of the scientists, these same scientists and these same outlets, that if Joe Biden is elected, he's going to rely on them to come up with a vaccine. But suddenly, all of a sudden, because, you know, Donald Trump, it happens to be during his administration, vaccine bad. But the same scientists on the other side of a Biden administration, somehow, you know, vaccine good. And the only difference is Donald Trump. I mean, this is what we're being trained and we're being conditioned for nonstop, 24/7 from the mainstream media. But I believe you're smarter than that. And I thank you. I thank you on behalf of all of us that are serious about the operation of our government. I thank you for registering to vote, and I thank you for getting out there and voting and making sure that your voice counts in this election. Stay with us. We've got more coming up.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid?